الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب النهي عن الشفاعة في الحدود باب النهي عن الشفاعة في الحدود The chapter with regards to the prohibition of making intercession on behalf of someone who the legal punishments have been prescribed against them, Shafa'a is to make intercession, and here on behalf of someone, and to go and to speak to someone on behalf of another person, to bring some good for them, to bring about some good for them, or to remove some harm from them. This is called Shafa'a. A person, he will go and speak to someone else who has authority, who has position, who has status, and he would speak to that person on behalf of another person to bring about good for that second person, or to lighten some harm or to remove some harm or difficulty from that second person. This is called shafa'ah. This is called intercession. And this issue here is allowed. Yani, and it's beneficial for a believer to intercede on behalf of his believing brother to bring about good for him. We need to go to someone and to ask them if he has connections to benefit them and to aid them and to help them and support them. Or if he can go to them and talk to them and convince them to not take him to account and to not harm him or to remove some harm from him or difficulty from him and the likes like this. All of this is something something that is good. But with regards to performing this intercession on behalf of someone who the legal punishment has been prescribed against them after it has reached the Islamic ruler or the Islamic judge who was under the Islamic ruler and the situation has reached him, then at this time it's not allowed to intercede on behalf of anyone. Rather, once the ruling has been established and reached the Islamic judge, and the Muslim judge, it has reached him, then it's incumbent upon him to execute the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's incumbent for him to execute the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to decree in that manner according to that which is prescribed in the Quran and in the Sunnah. So this is with regards to seeking intercession on behalf of someone specifically with al-hudud. Al-hudud, with the prescribed legal punishments. With regards to the prescribed legal punishments. There are some sins that have a prescribed legal punishment for them. And for the one who perpetrates them, and he's convicted of that in Islamic court, and he's found guilty of these specific crimes, there are prescribed punishments for them. These prescribed punishments are called hudud. They're called the hudud, prescribed punishments that Allah has set for specific deeds and specific actions. Not every sin, not every action of disobedience has a prescribed punishment, but some of them do. But some of them do. That prescribed punishment is called al-hadd, and the plural is al-hudud. So these are the prescribed laws. This is what is intended here. The word hudud, it has another meaning likewise in the legislation, hududullah. Hududullah, any the limits that Allah has prescribed. The limits and the laws that Allah has set and prescribed in general. So sometimes it'll be mentioned in the Quran, the prohibition of transgressing these hudud, the prohibition or the warning from transgressing the hudud. And this means the boundaries and the laws that Allah has set. And others have mentioned the obligation of staying within the hudud. Within the hudud, you stay within the limits that Allah has set. This is with regards likewise to the laws that Allah has set, and that which is allowed and permissible, one, he will abide by that. And one, he will maintain upon that, and he will live by that. And likewise, those boundaries that Allah has set from that which is impermissible, he will not transgress that. He will not transgress the halal into the haram. He will not transgress the halal into the haram. So there are limits that Allah has set. These are his prescribed laws. This is what he has made permissible and made impermissible. So there are limits, there are hudud, that if one transgresses them and goes beyond them, then he will fall into the haram and that which is impermissible. It's not allowed to transgress that. And then there's likewise hudud and laws and limits, they must be established and they must be performed. And they must be they must be upheld. Any of the rights and the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the obligations from the commandments and the prohibitions. These are also known as the hudud. But what is intended here is not these type of hudud, but rather the legal punishments that are prescribed for specific crimes. Naam. So this is the case here. So the author, he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. This verse here is with regards to a zaniya wa zani, the male and the female who have been convicted of fornication. Any of those who had not been previously married. And he mentioning that the punishment for them, فَجْرِدُوهُمَا مِيَةَ جَلْدَةً, that they should be lashed with 100 lashings. And if they are found guilty in the Islamic court. But the point here is that after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ, and that no pity or mercy should overcome you or should take you, yani in the prescribed laws that Allah has decreed, any meaning in establishing this affair, meaning that somebody should not have pity on them and feel bad for them and then turn away from establishing that punishment that is prescribed. وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ فِيهِمَا رَعْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, if you truly believe in Allah and in the last day. Al-Imam al-Sa'di, he mentioned, rahimahullah, وَنَهَانَا تَعَالَىٰ أَن تَأْخُذَنَا رَأْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ تَمْنَعُنَا مِنْ إِقَامَةِ الْحَدِّ عَلَيْهِمَا, that here Allah, he has prohibited us from having mercy and pity on these individuals who the punishment is prescribed against them and who it has been established against them and they have been found guilty, that this mercy and pity should not take us to the extent that we will not establish the legal punishment that is prescribed upon them. Meaning if they have been convicted of that, at this time, that law and that punishment must be executed. And this is the command of Allah. And this is the deen of Allah. And in reality, this is mercy for them. And this is mercy for the society. So As-Sa'di, he mentions, سَوَاءٌ رَأْفَةٌ طَبِعِيَّةٌ أَوْ لِأَجْلِ قَرَابَ أَوْ صَدَاقَ أَوْ غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ, regardless of whether this pity or this mercy was found naturally in the soul of a person. This should not stop him. This pity or mercy should not stop the believers from establishing that law, from establishing that limit, that prescribed punishment. Likewise, not any type of mercy or pity that one would have because of relationship, because of kinship, ties of kinship and blood, nor because of friendship and the likes like this. None of these affairs here should interfere with the execution of that punishment being established. This is the meaning of the verse. فَلَتَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةٌ, and no mercy, no pity that you have on them once the punishment has reached the judge and once the people have been convicted of that crime, that this legal punishment is prescribed for, no pity or no mercy, not any in the soul of the person, and not because of blood or ties of kinship or family, and not because of friendship or any other means should stop the believers from establishing that legal punishment. And he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, with regards to the statement of Allah, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, if you truly, and this is the case, that pity and mercy will not overcome you and stop you from establishing this legal punishment, if you truly believe in Allah in the last day, meaning that sincere faith, it will prohibit a person from turning away from establishing these laws. And from the completion of faith is that those laws will be established regardless of the situation. So the author, he says, وَلَهُمَا فِي حَدِيثِ الْمَخْزُومِيَّةِ وَلَهُمَا فِي حَدِيثِ الْمَخْزُومِيَّةِ, and also narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Al-Makhzumiyyah, أَتَشْبَعُ فِي حَدٍ مِّنْ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned with regards to this woman, she was from the tribe of Bani Makhzum, المخزومية أتشفع في حد من حدود الله؟ Are you attempting to intercede with regards to the prescribed punishment from the prescribed punishments of Allah? And this narration here is, as the author he mentioned, is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. It's from the Hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, and it's about a woman from Quraysh, from Bani Makhzum, and كانت تستعير الأشياء وتجحدها, that she used to borrow belongings from individuals and then deny that. She became known for this. She would borrow money or borrow belongings and likes like this, and then whenever the people would ask for their items back, she would deny that. She would deny that. And eventually, along with that, she got caught stealing. She got caught stealing, and she was reprimanded for this. So this happened, and she was from the tribe of Makhzum, Bani Makhzum, and this is from one of the tribes of Quraysh. So whenever this affair happened, and she's taken to court in this manner, she's found guilty in this manner, she's accused of this, the individuals from Quraysh, they started thinking about this. They were concerned about this, and they were afraid that this punishment will be established against her, and that the limit will be established against her. And the one who steals and is convicted of stealing, sariqah, and according to the law and the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their hand will be cut. This is the law, this is the head for this particular crime, whenever it's established in the manner, in the legislation, and then that person is found guilty. So they were worried about this. A number of them were worried about this, and they wanted to try to intercede on her behalf before the punishment was established. So they said, وَمَنْ يَجْتَرِيُ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Who would be bold enough to go and intercede on her behalf? Who would be bold enough? So they picked Usama ibn Zayd. Usama ibn Zayd, Usama ibn Zayd ibn Haritha. So Zayd ibn Haritha, his laqab and his title, what he's known as, Hibbu Rasulillah. One of the most beloved of the Messenger of Allah. He was his freed slave. And he was from the most beloved of the companions with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His son is Usama. And also, he is also Hibbu Rasulillah. So he is Hibbu ibn Hibbi Rasulillah. He is the beloved of the beloved of the Messenger of Allah. So they picked him, Usama radiallahu anhu, to go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to intercede on her behalf. So they picked one of the closest individuals to the Messenger, the most beloved of the people to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to intercede on her behalf. And whenever he came to intercede, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, أَتَشْفَعُ فِي حَدٍ مِّنْ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ أَتَشْفَعُ فِي حَدٍ مِّنْ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ. Are you attempting to seek an intercession with regards to the establishment of a legal punishment from the legal punishments of Allah, or a prescribed punishment from the prescribed punishments of Allah? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after this, he said, إِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ قَبَلَكُمْ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا سَرَقَ فِيهِمَ الشَّرِيفِ تَرَكُوا. It said, the only reason that the previous nations were destroyed is that whenever a noble person amongst them stole something, they would leave him. وَإِذَا سَرَقَ فِيهِمْ الضَّعِيفِ أَقَامُوا عَلَيْهِ الْحَدِّ. But if a weak individual from amongst them, he stole something, then they would establish the legal laws and punishments against him. Meaning they would show favoritism based upon status in society. And they were destroyed. Because of this reason, after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he emphasized this affair. And he said, وَيْمُ اللَّهِ لَوْ أَنَّ فَاطِمَةَ بِنْتَ مُحَمَّدٍ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam سَرَقَتْ لَقَطَعْتُ يَدَهَا. He said, I swear by Allah, if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stole something, I would cut off her hand. An indication of the danger of this affair. That there's no favoritism in this affair. That a person, his status in society, or his wealth, or his position, or his rank, and the likes like this, or his lineage, or his tribe, it will not stop. Once this affair reaches the Muslim court, and it's clear to the Muslim judge that this person is guilty of this particular crime, the punishment, it must be established. There's no intercession now. The people of knowledge, they mention, this is the case if the issue with regards to one of these prescribed legal punishments reaches the Muslim ruler, reaches the Muslim judge. As for before that, then the intercession is allowed. For example, if somebody stole something, and the people in the community, they're aware of that, and the issue did not yet reach the Muslim court, or the Muslim judge, or the Muslim ruler, then it's allowed for them to go to the people that this affair happened to, and the one who was stolen from, to ask them, you know, here, we're going to pay you back, or here, we're going to return it. Here, we're going to make it light. Don't tell the authorities. And to intercede at this time is allowed. To intercede at this time is allowed. And before it reaches the authorities in this manner, like this, we'll talk to him, we'll deal with him, or we'll pay you back, or we'll get the item back for you, or we'll give you one in replacement. All of this is allowed. But once it reaches the Muslim ruler, once it's established in the courts, it's not allowed at this time to intercede whatsoever. Rather, what is incumbent and what is obligatory is to establish the law and to establish the limit. And it must be prescribed. It must be prescribed and executed. It must be prescribed and executed. For example, fornication is not recommended to inform the authorities. Rather, a person who commits one of these crimes, it's not an obligation for him to tell the authorities. Rather, it's recommended for him to cover himself and to repent to Allah. To cover himself and to repent to Allah. And if somebody knows about that likewise, it's recommended for them likewise to cover him and to not expose him and the likes like this, and to try to rectify the affairs in that manner, and to cover their reputation and their fault before exposing them. But if the issue reaches the Muslim ruler and then the judgment is decided against them, there's no intercession at this time. There's no intercession at this time. Rather, to intercede would be considered from the major sins. This is what is intended here. So the author, he says, وَفِي مُوَطَّعَ عَنِ الزُّبَيْرِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُدُودُ السُّلْطَانِ فَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ الشَّافِعِ وَالْمُشَفِّعِ. It's in Al-Muwatta by Imam Malik from the hadith of Zubayr رضي الله عنه, meaning it's a hadith mawquf. إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُدُودُ السُّلْطَانِ. If these legal laws and punishments reach the authority, meaning that somebody perpetrated them, somebody had performed them, and he had violated these limits. If this issue reaches the authorities, فَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ الشَّافِعِ وَالْمُشَفِّعِ. The one who gives intercession and the one who is interceding. الشَّافِعِ وَالْمُشَفِّعِ. The one who intercedes and the one who is giving intercession. The one who intercedes and the one who is giving intercession. May the curse of Allah be upon both of them. May the curse of Allah be upon both of them. So this is from the statement of Az-Zubayr رضي الله عنه, that he mentioned this affair. So this is an indication of the danger of that. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما مرفوعا. And likewise, it has been narrated by Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he said, من حالت شفاعته دون حد من حدود الله فقد ضاد الله في أمره. فقد ضاد الله في أمره. من حالت شفاعته دون حد من حدود الله. Whoever his intercession has stopped the limits from one of the limits, from the limits of Allah of being executed. That's the meaning. And he's somebody who intercedes and he stops in his intercession to prohibit the law, the prescribed punishment to be established, فَقَدْ ضَادَ اللَّهَ فِي أَمْرِهِ. Then verily he has directly opposed and went against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his command. In his command. فَقَدْ ضَادَ اللَّهَ فِي أَمْرِهِ. And this is like al-muharaba, like he's going to war with Allah. Because whenever the issue reaches the authority, then now the command of Allah is that limit, it must be prescribed. That punishment, it must be prescribed once it reaches this affair. So the command of Allah and the limit of Allah and that which is in accordance with the deen of Allah, whenever it reaches the authority, that law, it must be prescribed. And that law, it must be executed. And those who oppose that, they're opposing Allah and His command. And that's like these are the ones who are going against Allah and are in opposition to Allah and to the command of Allah. So this is again a clarification of the dangers of this affair. A clarification of the dangers of this affair. So long as it did not reach the authorities, then to intercede on one's behalf to try to rectify the affairs before it becomes worse and more severe, this is allowed. But once the issue reaches the Muslim authority at this time, the punishment must be prescribed. At this time, the punishment, it must be prescribed. And the legal punishments, they're not in the hands of individuals. They're not in the hands of individuals or of imams of the masjid, for example, in the likes like this. These are in the hands of the Muslim ruler, the one who has authority in the land, and those who are under his authority. And those who are under his authority, he is the one who prescribed these limits, and he is the one who prescribed these laws and the likes like this, and he will execute them. It's not left up to individuals in the society, for example, here in America, that any individual, he will start establishing these affairs in the local communities and the likes like that. This is going to bring about chaos and confusion, and this is going to bring about much evil. And this is something that we see that some of the ignorant are establishing And it's even seen and known that they attempt to, or rather they do that, they establish some of these affairs in the prisons and the likes like that. They'll be in their prisons establishing these legal laws and punishments. And many of them, they cannot even read the Fatiha properly or even pray in the proper manner of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or maybe their purification is not even proper or good. Or maybe they haven't even learned the proper aqidah. Many of them, they accepted Islam in the prison and never even seen a masjid in their life. So it's alhamdulillah, they're Muslims, but to be ignorant in this manner. And many of them, it's all based upon desires and whims. And it will be like gangs and the likes like this. And they will lash individuals and they will beat them in their cells and the likes like this, claiming they're establishing the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal, when in reality they're following their desires. Waliyadhu billah. So this is something that is in the hands of the Muslim ruler. Even if somebody was sincere and wanting to establish these laws, it's not in the hands of individuals. It's not in the hands of the imam of the masjid or the imam of the community or whatever the case may be like this. This is something, yani, for the Muslim ruler who has authority and command, who has authority and command, and he has a court and judges and authority under him, then this is the one who will establish that. If not, then it's going to be chaos, and it's going to be much evil, it's going to be spread, and the likes like this. After this, the author, he says, Babu man a'ana ala khasumatin fil ba'athil. Babu man a'ana ala khasumatin fi al-ba'athil. The chapter with regards to the one who helped and supported somebody, helped them in their quarreling and dispute upon falsehood, to help somebody upon falsehood in his debate and quarreling and his argument. And he meaning that sometimes there will be individuals, they will be upon falsehood, and they will be quarreling and arguing and debating, and they are upon falsehood and they know that. They are not correct and their position is wrong, and they're in opposition to that which is correct, yet they'll continue to argue and debate. And they'll continue to quarrel and try to establish their opinion and to establish their position or to get a right unlawfully, and they know they're wrong. And so to help an individual to do this, this is a foul way. This is a foul way. Rather, as we see here, it's from the major sins. وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, and the statement of Allah the Most High, and the meaning of which is, and Allah, He has ordered the believers, and cooperate you all together, yani mutually, upon piety and righteousness. So we're ordered here to cooperate upon piety and righteousness. Everything that is allowed in the religion and establishing the deen, from establishing the obligations and also staying away from and avoiding the prohibitions, to establish this any property in one's life and in one's community, in one's society, in one's household, all of this is considered cooperating upon piety and righteousness. Any aspect of good in establishing the creed and establishing the belief and establishing the salat and establishing the zakat, the pillars of al-Islam, encouraging the performance of the obligations and fulfilling them properly, and likewise avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions, also business transactions, getting money lawfully. All of this is allowed, cooperating upon piety and righteousness in the affairs of the religion and in the affairs of the worldly life. Likewise, this is all a good affair. We're ordered to do this, to cooperate with each other to establish the religion, and to cooperate with each other to establish the dunya. Likewise, the worldly affair, and that which is allowed and permissible, this is all from that aspect, cooperating upon piety and righteousness, to help one another to have a good living, to have good money, to have business that is lawful, to have wealth that is lawful, and to have homes that are lawful, to cooperate together upon this affair. This is from the best affairs, to cooperate upon spreading knowledge, to cooperate upon teaching the people the deen and spreading the sunnah, teaching the tawheed. All of this is from the best aspects of that, cooperating upon piety and righteousness. This is what we are ordered to do. This is what we're ordered to do. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, and do not cooperate together upon sin and transgression. And do not cooperate together upon sin and transgression. So it's not allowed to help one another upon sin and transgression, upon violating the rights and the limits that Allah has set, and taking the rights of others, supporting and aiding falsehood, and the likes like this. All of this is not allowed. So this verse here is very inclusive, and from the greatest evidences and proofs that a believer will rely upon with regards to his dealings in life, with regards to his mu'amalat, and the way that he deals in life, and the way he goes through life, and how he earns a living, and the likes like this, and what he is upon with regards to his wealth and his finances, and how he will get money. Is it allowed or is it not allowed? The answer to this question many times in specific situations, certain circumstance will be this verse. Is it allowed for me to participate in this job? Is it allowed for me to get money from this avenue? Is it allowed for me to work in this place like this? This verse right here is the answer to the question, this type of question many times. Many times, if that job, or if this issue here, or this contract here, or performing that action here, or doing this deed here, or getting this money with these individuals here is considered cooperating upon piety and righteousness in the limits that Allah has set and allowed, then it's allowed and good, and a person who would advance upon that. But if in any aspect it's considered cooperating upon sin and transgression, doing this transaction here, doing this dealing right here, working with this company right here, and the likes like this would be considered cooperating upon sin and transgression, helping them to establish sin and transgression, that which is not permissible, that which is not allowed, that which is forbidden, then likewise this dealing here is forbidden. This dealing here is forbidden. As for the author, it's very clear how it's included here, that a person who is quarreling and arguing to establish falsehood, to take a right unlawfully, or to gain a right unlawfully, and the likes like this, and to aid him, this is aiding upon sin and transgression. This is aiding upon sin and transgression. So the author, he says, وَقَوْلِهِ مَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً حَسَنَةً يَكُنْ لَهُ نَصِيبٌ مِنْهَا وَمَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً سَيِّئَةً يَكُنْ لَهُ كِفْلٌ مِنْهَا. And also the statement of Allah the Most High, and the meaning of which is, the one who makes a good intercession, the one who makes a good intercession, then he will have a portion of that. And the one who makes a bad intercession, he intercedes for something bad on behalf of someone for some evil, then he will likewise bear the burden of that. Then likewise he will bear the burden of that. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he mentioned about this verse here, مَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةٍ حَسَنًا يَكُنْ لَهُ نَصِيبٌ مِنْهَا. That whoever intercedes on behalf of something good and something allowed and permissible, then he will share, and he will have a portion of that. Ibn Kathir, he mentioned, rahimahullah, man sa'a fi amrin fatarattaba alayhi khayrun kana lahu nasibun min dhalika. Kana lahu nasibun min dhalika. That whoever hastened to establish an affair, whoever is working to do something, and he's making effort to do something, and based upon his actions and based upon his deeds, some good comes about by way of that, then he shares in that. So this is not necessarily restricted to making shafa'ah here. This is not necessarily restricted to making intercession. This is one aspect of that. But anybody who was cooperating with somebody else and he's doing actions and deeds that bring about goodness for him and for others, that bring about goodness for him and for others, then he has a portion of that good. Then he has a portion of that good. Somebody who calls somebody to some good, or he helps somebody with some good, and then any his actions and his statements brought about good for another person, good for other people came by way of that, then he shares in that. He has the reward, he shares in that good. He shares in the benefit of that. So this is what is intended here. But likewise, وَمَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً سَيِّئَةً يَكُنْ لَهُ كِفْرٌ مِنْهَا. And whoever intercedes in a bad manner, for a bad cause, then he will share in the burden of that. Ibn Kathir, he mentioned, أَيْ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وِزْرٌ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الأمر الذي ترتب على سعيه ونيته. Meaning that he will have a sin from that, a fear, a sin. He will gain and earn a sin in that affair that he had hastened for, and that he intended. Any whatever evil comes out by way of that. So if he intended to do something, or he hastened and worked to do something, and then from that evil came about, some bad things occurred because of his action, because of his efforts, because of his statements, then he shares in the sin of that. And he bears the burden of that likewise with those who performed it. With those who performed it. So the one who was working upon evil, and he's helping somebody, and defending them, and quarreling and arguing with them to establish falsehood, while they know that he's upon falsehood, then he shares in that. He shares along with that, and the sin of that, and the sin of that. The author, he says, عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما مرفوعة. It's been narrated by Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, من حالت شفاعته دون حد من حدود الله فقد ضاد الله في أمري ومن خاصم في باطل وهو يعلم أنه باطل لم يزل في سخط الله حتى ينزع عنه ومن قال في مؤمن ما ليس فيه حبس في ردغة الخبار حتى يخرج مما قال وفي رواية ومن عانى على خصومة في ظلم فقد باء بغضب من الله عز وجل رواه أبو داود بسند صحيح بسند صحيح. So we see here that the author actually he has mentioned this narration and different portions of it in different any portions so far in the work, and now he's mentioning the narration altogether, and it has preceded portions of this narration as evidences for different chapters that he mentioned, but now he mentioned the whole narration in entirety. And the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is من حال الشفاعة دون حد من حدود الله فقد ضاد الله في أمره, that whoever his intercession has stopped or prohibited a legal punishment from the legal punishments of Allah being established, then verily he has opposed Allah and His command. Then verily he has directly opposed Allah and His command. ومن خاصم في باطل وهو يعلم أنه باطل لم يزل في سخط الله حتى ينزع عنه. And that whoever argues and quarrels, disputes in falsehood, while he knows that it's falsehood, then he will continue to remain in the anger of Allah until he retracts what he was upon. Until he retracts what he was upon. This is the evidence here. And for the author with regards to this. And ومن خاصم في الباطل and he جادل أحدا في الباطل وهو يعلم أنه باطل. Whoever debates with somebody and argues with them in falsehood, and he knows that it's falsehood, and he himself, he knows that he's upon falsehood, or he knows that the one who he's debating for and quarreling for is upon falsehood, and like this is what is intended, and then he debates anyways in order to defend that person. The person, he's wrong. Either the person, he himself, he knows he's wrong. He knows he's wrong and he's not right, and he knows that he doesn't deserve the right. And or he is defending somebody who he knows they're wrong and they're not right, and they don't deserve the right. But in spite of that, he defends them. In spite of that, he argues on their behalf or on his behalf, while he knows that he does not deserve that right or that he's wrong. And the light's like this, then this is the case for him. لم يزل في سخط الله حتى ينزع عنه, that he will remain. He will remain in the anger of Allah. In the anger of Allah until he desists from that, until he stops that, meaning until he leaves that debate and quarreling in that manner. Until he leaves that debate and quarreling in that manner. This will be with regards to affairs in the dunya, for example. He knows he doesn't have the right, but he will swear by Allah that he has a right, that this is his property, or that he owes him this, or that he paid this, or the likes like that, or so on. So he will defend somebody. Well, he knows that they do not deserve that. And he will continue in falsehood and defending that person while he knows he does not have the right, and the likes like this. This is all included. Likewise, in the affairs of the religion, he will know that somebody is wrong, or he know that somebody, his statement or his position is not supported by the truth, or they will cover up the issue and defend the person in falsehood, and the likes like this. All of this is included. All of this is included. If a person, he knows somebody is upon falsehood, or he himself, he knows he's upon falsehood, he's not right. He knows that the evidence is against him, and the proof is against him, and that he is wrong, but he, out of ignorance, and out of stubbornness, and out of pride, and out of arrogance, or out of desire for some worldly gain, he will continue to dispute in falsehood. Then this is his case here. Then he will remain in the anger of Allah, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, until he desists from that. وَمَنْ قَالَ فِي مُؤْمِنٍ مَا لَيْسَ فِيهِ حُبِسَ فِي رَدْغَةِ الْخَبَالِ حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ مِمَّا قَالَ. And whoever says something about a believer that's not true about him, then he will be retained in radghati al-khabal until he leaves off that which he had said. The people of knowledge, they mentioned the radgha. The origin of this word is al-tin wal-wahad al-kathir, and that it's mud. It's a lot of mud. The dirt, whenever it becomes muddy, and the likes like this. This is called radgha. But the khabal, the people of knowledge mentioned, the origin of this word is al-fasad. Al-khabal, it means al-fasad. But what is intended here is usaratu al-nar, the pus and the fluid from the wounds of the people of the hellfire. Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned this because it's like this pus, and this fluid is mixed with the dirt and the likes like this in the hellfire until it becomes in this manner like it's mud. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. In any case, what is intended is this filth here, that he will be in this manner, this individual who speaks about the believers and ascribes to them that which they are free of, he will be, this is his destination, and this is where he will abide until he leaves and retracts what he had said. That he leaves and he retracts what he had said. The author, he says in one narration that whoever helps somebody in a dispute upon oppression, then indeed he will have in return the anger of Allah. Somebody who debates and argues with somebody again upon falsehood, meaning this would be in oppression, that he would argue and dispute on behalf of himself or somebody else in falsehood, any in order to oppress somebody and take a right unlawfully, or to gain a right unlawfully, and the likes like this, then فَقَدْ بَأَ بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, then verily he has taken in return, or because of this, he has taken on the anger of Allah. It's narrated by Abu Dawood with a chain that is authentic. So here, the mention of the anger of Allah for these situations and circumstances is a clear evidence that this is from the major sins. A clear evidence is that this is from the major sins. A believer, he will never quarrel upon falsehood. If he knows he's upon falsehood, a believer, his faith will carry him to retract from that. If he's ever debating with somebody and the likes like this, and then it becomes clear to him that he is wrong, then he would admit that. That his faith will carry him to admit that. From the beautiful traits of a believer is that he's always seeking the truth. That he's always seeking the truth and always seeking the pleasure of Allah. So sometimes he will be tested like this. Maybe he will think one thing or perceive one thing to be in a certain manner. And then he will dispute about that and because of what he knows. And he from that, and then the evidence has come clear that he's wrong, or that his family members are wrong, or that his tribesmen are wrong, or that his friends are wrong, or his companions are wrong, and the likes like this. But then because he has this love for them, or concern for them, or this attachment to them, this hamiya, jahiliya, or because he doesn't want to admit that he's wrong, like this and the like, this ignorance inside of himself and this pride will carry him, yani to continue upon falsehood, while knowing and to defend that. This is what is intended here. This is what is intended here, whether it's with regards to the affairs of the religion or with regards to the affairs of the worldly life. Of the worldly life. A believer, if he realizes that he's wrong, he says, I'm wrong. Astaghfirullah. And this is considered a manqaba for him. This is considered falila for him. This is considered a good trait, a test. He said something wrong, he did something wrong, and then he realized it was wrong, and then he would say, Astaghfirullah, what I said was wrong. This is actually something praiseworthy and good, that if a person is ever tried by that and he made a mistake and he thought something to be correct and he was wrong in that, then he would say, well, actually the truth has reached me and I was wrong. I was wrong, you were right. Or if he violated the right of somebody, he will apologize to them. I was wrong. I violated your right. Afwan, pardon me. Barakallah fiqh, like this. A believer, he does not have a problem admitting that he's wrong. A believer, he does not have a problem admitting that he's wrong. This is the case here. If one is wrong, he says, I'm wrong. And he repents from that, alhamdulillah, and he's good. He repents from that, and alhamdulillah, he's good. So the person, again, of faith, his dealings are for the sake of Allah. His dealings are for the sake of Allah. He's looking for the reward from Allah. He's looking for the pleasure of Allah. He's hoping that Allah would accept his actions and deeds. So therefore, he will humble himself before Allah. And likewise, before the slaves of Allah, whenever it's required. And he will confess and into that which is correct and that which is truthful. Even if it's against his soul or against his family or against his tribe. And the likes like this, even if it means that he will take a loss. So long as he is free of blame with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and arguing and quarreling and falsehood, or lying and cheating and deceiving, and the likes like this, and the likes like this. After this, the author, he says, بَابُ مَنْ شَهِدَ أَمْرًا فَلِيَتَكَلَّمْ بِخَيْرٍ أَوْ لِيَسْكُتْ. The chapter with regards to the one whoever witnesses something, he witnesses or he attends something, then let him say that which is good or be silent. Then let him say that which is good or be silent. And if somebody who finds out about something, or he learns about something, or he hears about something, then what should he do? What is incumbent for him to do? To say that which is good or be silent. This is the chapter here. So he says, an Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu marfu'a, that it has been narrated by Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir, fa'idha shahida amran, falyatakallam bikhayran aw liyaskut. Rawahu Muslim. فَإِذَا شَهِدَ أَمْرًا فَلِتَكَلَّمْ بِخَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْكُتْ. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day. فَإِذَا شَهِدَ أَمْرًا فَلِتَكَلَّمْ بِخَيْرٍ أَوْ لِيَسْكُتْ. رواه مسلم. فليتكلم بخير أو ليسكت. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, then if he witnesses something, then let him say that which is good or be silent. Then let him say that which is good or be silent. It has come, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned like this, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليسمت. فليقل خيرا أو ليسمت. That whoever believes in Allah the last day, then let him say that which is good or be silent. Then let him say that which is good or be silent. This narration here is from the principles and foundations and fundamentals of noble manners. And from the fundamentals of noble manners and conduct. In order for a person to have noble manners and conduct and to be upright and steadfast upon the straight path in his behavior, he has to have control of himself. And from that, to have control of his tongue. From that, to have control of his tongue. The manner to have control of the tongue is to apply this narration. That a person, he will say that which is good or be silent. He will say that which is good or be silent. And in order to do that, it requires for him to think about what he's going to say before he speaks. There's no way to apply this narration except by first thinking about what one is going to say. The one who speaks before thinking, then he's not able to say that which is good or be silent. Many times the one who speaks before thinking, he will regret having spoken after he spoke. And this is why the people of knowledge, they mention, الكلمة إذا لم تخرجها تملكها وإذا أخرجتها تملكك. That the statement, if you don't say it, then you have authority over it. But if you say it, now it has authority over you.
غيرك
يملكها. ها؟ يملكها غيرك. Somebody else. Somebody else now has authority over that word. نَوَذَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. So long as you don't say it, you have authority over the statement. You have command of that. But if you speak it now, you have no charge. بَابُ مَنْ شَاهِدَ أَمْرًا فَلِيَتَكَلَّمْ بِخَيْرٌ أَوْ لِيَسْكُدْ. The chapter with regards to the one who witnesses something, then let him say that which is good or be silent. The author, he mentioned again the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. The one who truly believes in Allah and the last day. He believes in Allah and the last day. The relationship of the last day here is mentioned in this manner. And he believing in Allah and believing in the day, one will meet Allah and be held accountable in front of him before his deeds. So this is the relationship here. Many times it's mentioned like this. Whoever believes in Allah in the last day. Whoever believes in Allah in the last day. And he believing in Allah that he is the creator and provider and sustainer, and that we're returning back to him. And that when we return back to him on that last day, we'll be held accountable and we'll see our deeds, and he'll hold us to account, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who believes in Allah and believes in the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِذَا شَهِدَ أَمْرًا فَلْيَتَكَلَّمْ بِخَيْرٍ أَوْ لِيَسْكُتْ. If he witnesses something, if he hears about something, let him say that which is good or be silent. Let him say that which is good or be silent. Or be silent. So a person, he has to think before he speaks. So the first thing one would have to do is to verify that. And even to say that which is good, because if you said a lie, it's not good. If somebody says something that's lying or fabricated or not true, it's not good. So the first thing to say something good is to say the truth. But here, you have to say that which is good or be silent, meaning to think about that. First you verify, is it true? If it's true, you verify that. And then you have to think about it likewise. If I say it right now, would it bring about goodness or bring about harm? Is it proper for me to say that? Is it proper to me to mention that? Is it proper for me to talk about that? Any or at this time and in this place, or even at all, whether sometimes what is it proper that a person, he will not mention this, the affairs that he knows. Maybe he'll know something that's true, but to spread that or to mention that would bring about harm for the believers, or bring about fitna or trials in the society and the likes like that. If he learned about the secrets of others, for example, it's not allowed for him to mention these affairs, even if it's true. Rather, the secret has to be kept. Or if he learned about the faults of others likewise, he would not spread that. And talk about their ills behind their back, even if it's true. That would be considered backbiting, to say about your brother that which is true behind his back. So they need to think about what one says first before he says it. And is it going to be good? Is it going to be beneficial? Is it going to bring about good? Even if he verifies that it's true. The people of knowledge, they say, لَيْسَ كُلُّ مَا يُعْلَمُ يُقَالُ. لَيْسَ كُلُّ مَا يُعْلَمُ يُقَالُ. Not everything one knows, he has to say it. وَلِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ. And every circumstance, every situation, it has the proper statement to be mentioned at that time. وَلِكُلِّ مَيْدَانٍ رِجَالُهُ. And every field it has men who are qualified and required to speak. So not every person who knows something, he has to say that, or is he required to say that. nor is it beneficial for him to say that. And even sometimes it's not even proper or qualified for him to say that. And there are certain realms where only certain people should speak, certain topics that only certain individuals should discuss, even if a person he knows that. رحم الله عبدا عرف قدر نفسه. May Allah have mercy on a man, he knows his own level and rank. He knows his own level and rank. So sometimes information will reach us and it's not good to spread it. It's not good to mention it. It's not good to talk about it. Like the evils that happen in the Muslim lands, for example. Evils that are occurring in some of the Muslim lands. Things that are happening from the actions of disobedience, for example. To spread that, in reality, is cooperating upon bringing more corruption to those lands. And cooperating upon helping and aiding the Khawarij establish their goals and their endeavors. Because the Khawarij are the ones who take advantage of the likes of these affairs to try to rile up the laymen against the rulers. So they will spread the likes of these affairs of the sins that occur in the Muslim lands and these other affairs that are not pleasing and the likes like this. They will try to spread that in order to rile up the people against the Muslim ruler. So in reality, by talking about that and spreading that and putting it on your status, on your WhatsApp and so on and so forth, in reality, this is cooperating upon sin and transgression and not cooperating upon piety and righteousness. And to like and to help and to aid that indecency and vulgarness and sins of the believers are spread among society. So the people look at the Muslims, look at the Muslims doing this, and look at those Muslims doing that. Oh, these Muslims, they're falling into this, and these Muslims are falling into that. This is something that there's a threat with. And if that Allah has forbidden that, we have taken that before. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ تَشِيَ الْفَاحِشَ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. That whoever likes that indecency and evil is spread and circulated amongst the believers, then he has a severe punishment. Then he would have a severe punishment. So to spread the likes of these affairs, this is not from wisdom, and it's not from helping and cooperating upon piety and righteousness. Rather, if a person heard about these affairs, he'll be silent. Is it good to say these things? They're doing this and that in this country. Is it good to talk about that? No, that's not good at all. وَلِيَذِ بِلَّهِ. Even if it was verified that it happened and it was true, it's not good to talk about that. So therefore, one, he will not say that. He will say something else that's good. And he yes, whoever witnesses something, he ever sees something, has reached him, he heard about it, or he's seen it on WhatsApp, or he's seen it on Facebook, or he's seen it on YouTube. Let him say that which is good or be silent. Let him say that which is good or be silent. So we have to be very careful, especially in these days, especially with these means of communication. The enemies of Islam are diligent and they're very tricky. Wallahi, they're very deceptive, and they're riling up the Muslims against the Muslims, and they're trying to corrupt the Muslim home, and to corrupt the Muslim woman, to corrupt the Muslim family, and to corrupt the Muslim society. They want to take down the Ummah, they want to take down the religion, they want to strip it from the hearts of the believers, and they have many different plots. They have many different plots, from the worst of them to try to take down the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, from the worst of them to try to get the Muslim woman out of her home and away from her family. These are from the two major plots of these days that we should be aware of. This is from the plots of the enemies, and they decorate that. And they have many different ways to do that. To get the Muslim woman away from her children. To get the Muslim woman away from her home. To separate the Muslim man from the woman so that the household will be corrupted and will not function properly, so the religion will not be established, and the children will grow up as disbelievers or as very weak and complying Muslims to the worldly standard. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. Where they want to take down the very last place where the Tawheed is raised. Even if there are sins there, the Tawheed is raised in Medina and Mecca and Riyadh. The Tawheed is raised there. The religion is established there. The Sunnah is there. Much good is coming from there, but they forget about that. Millions are being spent just on students of knowledge from America to go over there every year back and forth. I witnessed it, whether I'm from them. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So there's much good that they're doing that they don't spread that part. All they do, they spread one thing, these people are doing this. Some fools are doing this and some fools are doing that. And if this is what is happening, this is the situation of the Ummah, but what about the good that is occurring? What about the khair that is occurring? What about the other aspects like this? So to not fall into these affairs, to say that which is good or be silent, this is the means of success and this is the means of noble manners. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَإِذَا شَهِدَ أَمْرًا فَلْيَتَكَلَّمْ بِخَيْرٍ أَوْ لِيَسْكُتْ. Then whoever believes in Allah on the last day, if he witnesses something, if he hears about something, if he's aware of something, let him say that which is good or be silent. Let him say that which is good or be silent. So first he has to verify, is it truthful or is it not truthful? Is it correct? Is it not correct? Many times information reaches us and it's not even true. It's not even true. It's 100% lie, especially on the internet. especially on the YouTube and this news. This information is coming to us from BBC. This information is coming to us from Fox News. Information is coming to us from a pure kafir, 100% disbeliever in Allah in the last day. And then somebody will take it as if it's 100% like it's Quran and Sunnah. And he will believe it first time that he heard it. And the lies like this. Many times it's fabricated and it's lies. Many times it's fabricated and it's lies, or it's decorated and it's deceptive and it's not truthful and it's not honest and it's made to seem more than it really is. Even if it's true. If it's true, they'll make it seem more than it really is. And the lies like this, all of this is plots against our religion, against our deen, against the way of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should not be fools and follow our desires and follow our whims. Same thing whenever they draw those pictures and the lies like this, all trying to rile up the Muslims to act foolish. So they have somebody to point their finger at. I told you their religion is this. I told you their Muslims are this. I told you the Muslims are that. Because they rile them up and follow their emotions. And then the fools and the ignorant from amongst us, they act in a manner in contradiction to the legislation, making us look even worse and even worse and even worse. If we want to have victory, if we want to have success, if we want to have good, we submit to Allah with obedience and with tawheed. And we sing on Him out in worship. And with all actions of love and servitude and sincerity, with love and hope. And we follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam diligently, and we leave off our customs. And we leave off our whims and our desires. And then Allah, He will help us and give us victory. And until then, it will not occur. From that as a person that he will be silent. He will be silent about that which does not concern him. And he will not talk about the affairs that do not concern him. And even if it's something that's truthful, he will look and verify if it is beneficial for him to say it or not before he speaks. فَلِيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُوتْ. Let him say that which is good, or be silent, or be silent. After this, the author, he mentioned, بَابُ مَا يُحْذَرُ مِنَ الْكَلَامِ فِي الْفِتْنَةِ. The chapter with regards to whether which one should be cautious from, with regards to speaking about trials, speaking about the fitn. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.